Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's nice to see you. It's a week since we were here, because I was just getting ready to come down and see you last Thursday when the announcement was made that school was closed because of the snow. And I could hear the weeping and the wailing up at the house, as you all who had turned up were going home ever so sad. And I know from your faces you don't really believe that. But now we're back together, and for that we're thankful. I might just say this, 2 weeks from now, and it will be my last assembly with you for a little while, because I will be heading off for Canada, my wife and I, going out there to do a visit with our oldest son, and we're looking forward to that. Hopefully we will get the parable of the prodigal finished before we go. I wouldn't like to leave it hanging, as it were, during our absence. Let's turn now to Luke chapter 15. We have been concentrating upon one particular verse in the parable, and we'll repeat it, because there's so much in this verse, and we have spent a little time looking at the various things that are stated here. It's wonderful how in God's word, boys and girls, never forget this, how in God's word a phrase, a sentence, a verse can contain so much, so much. Verse 13, not many days after, the younger gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. We're looking at the prodigal's riotousness and also his ruin. And we're considering principally now his ruin. We have looked at his riotousness. Now we're going to look at his ruin. Just imagine this young fella. Probably wasn't much more than a teenager. But he has decided that he'd be better off anywhere than in his father's house. He didn't like the restrictions, he didn't like the routine that he had to abide by when he was in his father's house. And so he decided that he'd leave. But he couldn't leave without money. And he couldn't get any money except from his father. Oh, what lessons there are there, boys and girls. Listen to me. If you want to sin, if you want to live a life governed only by your own desires, a life free from God's restraints and God's rules and God's word, you can only do that if God gives you the means of doing that. Just as this young fella couldn't go to the far country and live as he liked without his father's money, so you can't live as you like without God giving you the health and the strength to do it. It's a strange thought. To even defy God, we need God's help. Isn't it a strange thing? So as this young man is out there, living it up, he's doing it with his father's money. As he's thinking to himself, I'm free, and I can do what I like, and I'm no longer under my father's hand. He was doing it with his father's money. There's not a sinner out there who lives to defy God, but does so by the breath and by the beating of his heart that God grants to him. Boys and girls, this speaks of God's mercy. It does. It speaks of God's mercy. How merciful is God that he allows men to sin against him? How merciful is God that he should give them the strength and the health to sin against him? And how sinful it is to use the health, the strength, the life that God gives you to defy him, to mock him, to reject him. That's what's taught us here in the lifestyle of the prodigal. It says in verse 13, he wasted his substance with riotous living. I wonder what riotous living means. I've told you before that when you have a question about what the Bible says, the Bible will give you the answer. So if we're wondering what riotous means, the Bible will give us an answer and tell us. And you can always trust what the Bible tells you. Men may come along and men may say, this is what we think the Bible is teaching. But That's not how we should go about finding the answer. So what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say that riotous mean? Well, we'll find the word in another place. And as we look at its setting, we'll come to understand what it means. Look at Ephesians, the chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll read from verse 16, where Paul is exhorting the Christian in Ephesus to live for the Lord. He says, verse 16, redeeming the time, making good use of the time. That's what it means. Because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In other words, live by the will of God. Spend your time living by the will of God and seeking Him that you might know His will. And be not drunk with wine wherein is access, but be filled with the Spirit. Now our word riotousness is in there. The actual Greek word is translated here in verse 18 as the word access. That's our word. Wherein is access. Be not drunk with wine wherein is access. When you get drunk with wine, Paul is saying, the result is access. What is access? To have access of something is to have more than you need of something. Overflowing. Drunkenness leads to behavior that's overflowing. It goes beyond. It goes beyond the limits. Goes beyond the limit. And of course that is what happens when men get drunk. They go beyond what is right, what is proper, what is lawful. And riotousness and riotous living is going beyond. He was, as it were, in a perpetual state of drunkenness, this prodigal son. When he went there, doubtless he did indulge in wine drinking and was physically drunk. But even when he wasn't drunk, he acted as if he was. He acted as if he was. And there was that excessiveness about his lifestyle. How he talked, how he acted. Access. He was like a man at all times in a state of drunkenness. A man who had lost his mind and lost his reason is what happens when drunkenness, of course, takes place. Men act mindlessly. They act as if they hadn't a mind, as if they hadn't a brain. They laugh at drunken individuals because of what it is they do, while the crowd round about the drunken man are laughing at him. He thinks that he's a star, that he's someone who is exciting. The laughter he hears, he takes not as mockery, but as admiration. He's out of his mind. And so it was with the prodigal. Listen, boys and girls, this is what happens when you follow sin, when you turn from God. You become someone under the control of that which is contrary to good reason, good sense, and propriety. Man's wisdom is deemed by God as madness. In Luke chapter 12, just a couple of pages back from where it is we're studying, Luke chapter 12, and in the verse 20 of that chapter, we have a very well-known statement, "But God said unto him, Thou fool." These words were addressed to one that we might describe as a very prosperous, successful businessman, whose business was booming, so much so that he said, "I'll have to replace all the buildings that I have with bigger ones." But therein lay his whole world. He thought only of the harvests that he was reaping and the barns he was filling. He never thought about eternity. He never thought about God. And God said, "Thou fool." I tell you, those that the world considers wise, God considers fools. God's thinking is on one level. Man's thinking is on the lowest level of all. He lived riotously. He wasted, it says. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. Verse 13, Luke 15. Well, that's all you can do. If you take your life into your hands, take it out of God's hands, cast aside God's law, God's rules, God's way, and set out on a path planned by yourself. All you do is waste your life. That's all you do. Now, while this was going on, there's no doubt the prodigal didn't think he was wasting his life. He thought he was having a high old time. He thought, this is the best possible way for me to live. Yet all the time he was wasting his life. He was wasting his life. Out there in the world, millions, millions, and millions. The population of the world, whatever that number may be, by and large, is wasting its life. Doesn't matter how brainy people are, it doesn't matter how rich they are, doesn't matter how prosperous and well-positioned they are. They may be in Parliament, they may be sitting on a throne, but if they're living according to their own rules, they're wasting their life. They're wasting their life. They're throwing it away. They're throwing it away. Every Monday down this road comes a big truck with flashing lights, and it stops at your gate, and it stops at my gate, and it collects our waste, our rubbish, that which we're throwing away. Do you see what the prodigal was doing? He didn't recognize that he was doing this, but that's what he was doing. He was throwing his life away as if it was rubbish. He wasted his substance. The word waste here, and boys and girls, I've got to tell you, some of you are too young just to do this at the present time, but when you get a little older, you'll be able to get yourself a book, or even on a computer, get yourself a copy of a program called Online Bible, and through that program, you will be able to look at the words in the Bible in their original language. And you'll be able to trace those words as they appear throughout the Bible, sometimes under the form of another English word, as we've just done there with riotous and access. Same words, but translated with different English words. Well, please, think of doing that. Think of doing that. And those of you who perhaps have laptops or little pads, I'm sure you'll be able to get a copy of the Online Bible. Comes for nothing. It comes for nothing. And if you do, then do what I'm telling you here. Look up the original word. Now, the original word here for waste means, and it comes from the farm, it means to winnow or scatter. I've often mentioned to you that I can remember, you'll never see it, unless you go to some folk park where perhaps they're putting on a display of old-fashioned thrashing. But I remember how thrashing used to be done, and the seed was beaten out of the stalk, and when it was beaten, the kernel, the important bit, was separated from the little covers, little shell that surrounds it. Anybody here like eating popcorn? Of course, there's a lot of you do. Well, there's one thing, and I like popcorn, but there's one thing I hate about popcorn. Anybody know what that might be? What's left in your teeth after you've eaten popcorn? And what's left in your teeth after you've eaten popcorn are those little covering in which the kernel that you so enjoy was housed while it was growing. And although the popcorn has been treated and the most of these little covers have been removed, there's always some left, and they get stuck in your teeth. Well, thrashing is to get rid of those little hard shells. And when the seed has been beaten, and I can remember my father doing this, very often there was a big flattish wickerwork basket called a creel, and the seed was put into it, and he would have held it up, and on the ground there was a large canvas, sheet of canvas, and he would have positioned himself so that the wind was on his back, and he would have held this creel above his head, and he would have begun to shake it, so that the seed started to dribble out over the edge and fall down. But as it fell down, the wind, blowing on his back, blew away the chaff, or the little shell, blew it away. And that's the meaning of this word here, to winnow, or to scatter. It's the basis
of an old saying, perhaps not so familiar now, but it used to be said of people who acted foolishly that they were casting to the wind their life. That they were just letting the wind take it away. Take it away wherever the wind would blow it. And that's the way the prodigal was living. Just like the chaff in the wind. Just wherever the wind was willing and wishing to take it. So it was with the prodigal. He was living his life and wasting his life. Following not wisdom, not propriety, not the teaching and the law of his father, but just letting the wind take him. Very often in the scriptures, the wind is a symbol of the devil's activities. Not always, it also is a symbol of the moving of the Spirit of God. But there are times, and the context in which this is stated tells us when the blowing of the wind is like the working of the devil. You remember, he's called the prince of the powers of the air. You remember when the Savior and the disciples were crossing the Sea of Galilee, there came down a great storm, raising waves, threatening the boat, and the Savior spoke, and the wind stopped. Symbol of the activities of the devil, creating storms of trouble, persecution, and abuse that threatened to sink the child of God. And in the instance of the wind blowing the chaff, that's a picture of the devil taking hold of the life of one who has separated themselves from God, refused to believe God's word and live by it. The devil takes hold of them, and like a piece of chaff, he just causes them to waste their life. Waste their life. What a contrast between the seed that my father had up there in that creel, which fell on the ground, and which was put to good use, and the chaff which was being blown away, come to nothing. Oftentimes, the wind deposited it not too far away, and it was burned. Oh, boys and girls, that's how it was with the prodigal. He wasted his life. He wasted his life. That's what you will do. Doesn't matter what you've been taught here. Doesn't matter the example that you have been given here. Doesn't matter the home from which you have come and the teaching you have received there. You turn your back on the Word of God, as the prodigal turned his back upon his father, you'll waste your life. Oh, you might rise in the business world, in the professional world. You might rise in the estimate of men. But when eternity dawns, it will be seen you wasted your life. You wasted your life. Let that picture be painted vividly in your mind and in your memory. Let's bow in prayer. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, be pleased today to bring home to the boys and the girls the teaching of thy word. Lord, I can't do it. Try as I may, though I must try, but I must look also to thee, Lord, to bless our trying and our efforts. And I pray that there will be imprinted upon the hearts and lives of all who are here the lessons of this portion of God's word. Lord, may we not waste our lives, please. May we not be like the chaff, Lord, that the wind carries away. But, O God, may something good come of our living. Answer prayer today. Bless our school. Bless each child here, we pray, and the teachers also, and the homes from which the children come, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.